Welcome back in hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined shortly by Trent Dilfer, former NFL quarterback, current head coach at Lipscomb Academy. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Matt Duchesne at 8:45, and then Adam Vingan from The Athletic at 9:30 will join us. So a lot still to get to on the show here today. And also coming up a little bit after Trent Dilfer here, Joe Rex Rhodes has got some takes on some Tom Brady conversation that he heard yesterday. Looking forward to that one, too.
Jared attacked me. I must now attack Jared.
Jared attacked you. We had somebody
on attacked, Jared.
We had somebody on our text line earlier in the show, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, say that Jared lives in Joe's head rent-free. He mentions him every show.
Or is it the other way around?
Maybe. What do you think?
Well, I think that these segments wouldn't have happened if I wasn't listening yesterday when he attacked me. So I'm just saying. And then I heard, you know, if anybody heard, he had Gentry Estes on because Gentry wrote the column after the Super Bowl in the Tennesseum, you know, that the Titans were still right to sign Ryan Tannehill over Brady.
Yeah.
And that is the bottom line of Jared's, the whole thing yesterday was about the Titans. So Jared doesn't like that take. And I thought Gentry did a fine job of defending his take on the air.
He did. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in Trent Dilfer, Lipscomb Academy coach, former NFL quarterback. Trent, what's going on, man? How we doing?
How we doing, guys?
We are doing great. Well. Hope you are as well. And Trent, I want to start just obviously with the Super Bowl taking place on Sunday. Tom Brady, I mean, there have been a lot of strange things that have happened over the last couple of years, as we all know. One thing that felt very normal was Tom Brady winning another Super Bowl. Seven Super Bowls for Brady. Just overall, how impressive was what he was able to accomplish at 43 years old in his first year when an offseason is disrupted as it was with COVID-19? Just where does this rank in terms of Tom Brady's accomplishments?
You know, I don't know if I have the vocabulary to describe it. I'm having a hard time finding the words to describe what we just saw happen. I think to me, what makes it most impressive with all the challenges that went along with this year was what happened, what he was able to do at their bye week. Remember, the team was 7-5. They have a bye week in week 13. There was a lot of rumors coming out of there that there was a big divide between Tom and Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich, the offensive coordinator, that certain guys weren't acting professional, that it just didn't, they didn't have their stuff together. Let's put it that way. And then Tom getting 2 weeks with this team to interact with it, to kind of show it, to kind of be the moral authority in the locker room and just press the reset button for an entire organization to say, hey, we're going to start doing the little things well. And as we do the little things well, we'll start figuring out that we're going to be one of the best teams in all of football. And talking to people in the organization, it was the little stuff like pre-snap penalties in practice. It was getting in earlier. It was all the boring stuff that it takes to be great that he started emphasizing. He started speaking up more. And in 2 weeks, they went from an average football team to the best team in football. And I think that him waiting to assert his moral authority with the Bucs is maybe the greatest thing he did this year, because he let them, because he's a new guy and they don't have the offseason, and he's just, you know, acclimating to the program. He kind of lets them, meaning the coaches, the players that were there, do their thing, and they're 7-5. And then he steps in and says, okay, now we're going to do it my way. And they go 8-0 and win the Super Bowl. So I think he just proves that his greatness is more than in his arm and in his brain. It's in his presence. He's the ultimate guy at making everybody around him better, and that's the ultimate job of the quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's an interesting, you know, I hadn't thought of it that way, you know, in terms of sort of holding back and then – you know, making that push late, but obviously that makes sense. And yeah, you can't take anything away from Tom Brady, obviously, Trent. But I'm going to rope you in on this conversation that is kind of inevitable around here when he wins a Super Bowl. But the Titans, you know, prioritized Ryan Tannehill last year, had a very good year with Ryan Tannehill. Do you think that the Titans should have gone after Brady instead of Tannehill?
I don't know. I mean, I try not to get into that stuff. I like Ryan. I thought he did a great job. I don't think anybody would say Ryan Tannehill was Tom Brady. But again, I don't think anybody could have predicted the impact that Tom would have on his team. And who's to say he would have had it on the Titans like he had it on the Bucks? I don't know. I try not to get into those conversations. I know that they did Ryan's the right quarterback for the Titans, and Tom Brady is obviously the right quarterback for the Bucks.
Let's go to Academy Coach Trent Dilfer on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Trent, I'm interested to get your perspective on this, and it seems like the young quarterbacks around the league, maybe the shelf life and teams almost giving up on them at times is happening at a more rapid pace than ever before. And obviously we know the quarterback position continues to evolve, and the quarterbacks that just sit behind starters for a year doesn't really seem to be the norm anymore. As you're working with quarterbacks, whether it's at the college level or at the high school level there at Lipscomb Academy, what's your number one piece of advice to them, and what do you think of this trend in the NFL of just forcing young quarterbacks to play maybe even before they're ready?
Yeah, I'll start there. I really struggle with it because I know the challenges I had. I know the challenges some of my peers had. The game was very different back then also, so there were more challenges. Going from the college game to the pro game was just two very different games. Now they're very similar games. I still think it's best to set. You know, I'm kind of on an island on this one, especially as at ESPN. My colleagues would make fun of me because every time this came up, I'd say I still think it's best if a guy sits. I think the Mahomes, Rodgers, Carson Palmer, I can go, there's some other examples. There's still the better road to go. Now, I'm seeing it work the other way more often. These guys playing early on, kind of getting their lumps, figuring out on the run. I think a lot has to do with who the coaches are. I think that's kind of what I've settled on. I think there's coaches that can tailor-make their offense around what the player did in college. And then I think there's coaches that say, no, this is the way we're going to do it. You got to learn it this way. And if you don't learn it this way, then you're not going to be successful. That's kind of the common denominator I've found with guys having success when they play early is the coach is very pliable, the play caller. It's like, hey, you know, he did some of this stuff at College X, so we'll start doing some of this stuff. And what'd you call it in college? Well, we called it this. Okay, we'll call it that too. So you have familiarity. And I've seen that happen. It kind of blows my mind because that never would have happened in the 90s, early 2000s. But I think it's smart on coaches. That's number one, that answer the starting early or sitting early question. The number one thing I'm telling quarterbacks right now is this idea of just control or command. You can use either word. That the ultimate job of the quarterback is to make everybody better on your team. I said that earlier about Tom Brady. But to do that, you better have command. You better have command of yourself. I've seen too often that these kids come in or they're young players and they're reactionary to everything going on around them. They control everything but what they can control, or they try to control everything but what they can control. The ones that are figuring out just have command of themselves, their emotions, their thought patterns, they're wise beyond their years. Obviously, there's work ethic and a skill set that goes into playing quarterback, but more important than any of that is just having kind of command of the things that you can, command of yourself, not letting the little things become big things, not reacting to what it says on Instagram, not reacting to what's going on in the world around you, not reacting to the drama at school, just kind of staying steady, and those are the kids that are making it. I see more talented kids fall off, not reach their potential because they react to things that are out of their control. They get dramatic. They start letting, I've used this analogy a bunch. They're thermometer leaders instead of thermostat leaders. They react to the temperature of the room instead of changing the temperature of the room. Again, I could give a dissertation on this stuff. I work with so many quarterbacks, but That's the number one thing, is the kids that stay focused on controlling what they can have a chance. Those that let their surroundings control their emotions, their reactions, pretty much have no chance.
Well, Trent, obviously you trained Tua, and you know him well and know his skill set well, like it a lot, I think like a lot of people do. He's the one who really it stands out to me in this conversation in terms of outside the outside world, you know, being so quick to be ready to move on or even just, you know, wonder about someone when he comes in his rookie year. And I thought showed some good things, looked like a rookie at times. But what do you think about that situation and where things are going for him?
I think there's a small group of people that have a really loud voice in the NFL, and when they start a narrative one way, people jump on. And I think that's happened to Tua. You saw Herbert and Burrow at one point early in the season, two rookie quarterbacks having a lot of success. They were both playing very well, throwing for a lot of yards. Teams weren't necessarily winning, but they were playing well. As that's happening, Tua's not playing. As that's happening, there's a couple disgruntled employees in Miami that are feeding information to these loud voices saying, hey, we don't like him as much as, you know, everybody says we do. And then boom, this thing starts. And everybody that jumped on that bandwagon just, you know, they're brainwashed by media narratives. They don't know any better. They don't know if Tua's good or bad. They probably haven't seen a Dolphins game. They start chiming in. And, you know, what was really happening was Fitzpatrick was playing better than they expected him to at his age. They wanted to because there was no off season. There was no, you know, he's so new to the program, trying to integrate them into their way, their systems. There was some coaching. There was a coaching dynamic that there were some people fighting for Fitzpatrick, not because they didn't like Tua, but they wanted to save their jobs. They figured Fitzpatrick would help them win more games. And then Tua was behind. He didn't, you know, he had a terrible injury in college. You know, his football in the offseason was coming to Lipscomb Academy and getting ready for the pro day. So it's not like he had a robust offseason. So he was a little bit behind, and that's okay. So I think a lot of things were happening. What I loved what happened when he played, he had one stinker. He had one game where he turned it over. But besides that, he played really clean football. He played winning football. He played the type of football they're asking him to play. He can't control what plays are called. He can't control that none of the receivers can run fast. He can't control that they don't have a dynamic back. But he played the game the way he was asked to play it. I think that shows great promise. Because we know he's super talented. So we know once they get more talented around him, that's only going to bring out more of his talent. I didn't know this about him. I didn't know he could play that conservatively. I didn't know he could play that style of football. He's never been asked to play that style of football. I was really impressed that he was able to play that way. And it shows a lot of what I call discernment as a quarterback, where you're more discerning than you are prideful. Because a lot of quarterbacks say, listen, I'm not going to make these type of boring decisions. I'm just going to let it rip and show what I got, and they end up throwing a bunch of interceptions. He was like, I'm going to do what I'm asked to do. I'm going to be very careful with my approach. I'm going to give my team a chance to win considering who we are. I think that bodes well for his future.
Trent Dilfer on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Trent, last thing for you here. You're a couple years in now at Lipscomb Academy. What's this experience been like for you? Obviously, nobody foresaw a pandemic coming over the course of the last year, so an unforeseen challenge there. But overall, what's this experience been like for you so far? Has it been as rewarding as you thought it would be?
Yeah, and that's the word I'd use, is rewarding. You know, there's a lot of things as a high school coach, and if any are listening, they'll nod their heads. That isn't fun. You'd never put it in the fun category. But you realize that, you know, you do what you do to impact the families in a powerful way. And when you do that, it is so rewarding. It's so rewarding to see kids mature in front of your eyes. It's so rewarding to see them change some of the ways they view the world. It's so rewarding to see the work ethic change. It's rewarding to see them come together. You know, kids that never would have met each other all of a sudden becoming buddies. There's so many cool things about it. You know, Lipscomb has been rewarding that they were just so bad. I mean, it was so bad from a football standpoint and just a culture standpoint. And now it's pretty good. It's not good enough, but it's pretty good. And they have pride about that. And there's an energy that's around the program and around the community that I think wasn't there. So those things are really rewarding. It's rewarding to see kids that wouldn't have played college football go on and play college football. We've had quite a bit of that. Even in this year where recruiting's a disaster because of the pandemic and seniors staying at their colleges, so there'd be no room for 2021s. We're still having kids that are going and playing college football. That's exciting and that's rewarding. So I think it'll be even more rewarding if we could ever win a state title. We got to win the last game of the year. It really doesn't matter. Like, I hope we win one. I think we will win multiple ones. I think we're going to just keep getting better and better and better. But even if we don't, it's been worth every second because of how rewarding it's been.
Lipscomb Academy coach and former NFL quarterback Trent Dilfer has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Trent, appreciate so much you taking time to join us this morning.
Thanks, guys. Anytime. Have a great one.
Absolutely. Thanks, you as well. When we come back, we'll react to a little bit of what Trent had to say there and get into the Tom Brady discussion as well. Joe Rexro, Jared Stillman, arguing back and forth. This is always a doozy. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.